Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 95 or 94. I didn't update the episode number. It is 95. I'm going to update that on Twitch right now. It is episode 95.
Nice.
We are professionals. Not really. We are, in fact, not professionals, but it is episode 95 of the Picos Reality podcast, and I am one of your hosts, Emilson. As always, I am joined by my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, we are going to be talking about Sanctum of Domination, kind of going through the bosses, going through our recollection of like progressing them, what we thought of them, which ones we liked, which ones we didn't. There's a couple really big misses, a couple really good hits. So we'll be going through that. But before we get into that, we have some news from the past week that we want to go through.
We do. Yeah. So a couple of things were announced this week now that everybody's back in the office. Holidays are over. Time to get back to work. So just a handful of things. But first up, Blizzard, like they've mentioned previously, with the end of 9.1 and going into 9.2, sorry, they're going to do Mythic plus seasonal titles, right? Similar to what they've done with PvP in the past. The top like 0.1% of players will get a cool title if you push Mythic plus rating. What they ended up doing was they put out this week basically a post that says, you know, if you are going to faction transfer, basically they are going, you have to faction transfer by January 18th to be eligible for the end of season rewards. Basically to stop people from like 2 or 3 weeks before the end of the season transferring to like Alliance or Horde or vice versa, right? And ensure you get the title on that faction. So this is something that I think has been in place.
This basically just means that you can't transfer from Horde to Alliance and collect your title, because we all know that that's the direction things would go in. Like the people on Horde have higher Mythic Plus scores on
Iron
because there are more of them.
And exactly.
That's where the big like rating, like top end rating guilds are Horde.
Exactly. Yeah. So just to stop that. So they put out the date January 18th. Basically, any faction transfers have to be completed before the 18th. So basically the 17th or before to be eligible for the end of season rewards or titles. So
it's basically within the next week.
Yeah. So if you're gonna swap, do it then.
I do like this little note that they've got here at the bottom with a little asterisk next to it. Please note that we have not yet announced the Eternity's End release date.
Yeah, exactly.
I missed that the first time I read this. They're trying to tell people do not read the tea leaves, but of course
we are. Yeah, exactly. So they got out ahead of that, which is interesting. So that's on the faction transfer date. They also did, there was a patch this week which put out a couple of changes. It's funny, I actually linked just the major changes that were in the notes for Resto Druid and like protection, where some of the set bonuses got changed. There was though in the notes updates to both the Brewmaster and Mistweaver sets. I'll talk about Mistweaver real quick, but basically with Mistweaver, they basically clarified the two piece, which previously was just adding 5%. So the previous two piece was 2 additional seconds to the Essence Font Hot, and then 5% healing on the periodic healing of the Essence Font Hot, which is absolutely nothing. They basically clarified and said that now that two piece will increase all healing done by Essence Font by 5%. Fun fact, that was already in the game. So the previous bonus actually already applied to all of Essence Font healing. It just wasn't in the text on the two piece or anything like that. So, they're just clarifying, I think, that. And, the other piece too, is that the four piece, now when you drink Thunder Focus tea with the four piece, it's not going to interrupt soothing mist channels, which again, something you could do previously was drink, Thunder Focus tea, while channeling soothing mist, it wouldn't interrupt it. They've changed that. The question I have, and I didn't test this yet, was if it still interrupts Essence Font, because drinking Thunder Focus tea with the four piece was interrupting Thunder Focus tea channels.
So. Does it on live right now? Obviously no four piece on live, but
no, on live it doesn't. No.
Thunder Focus tea. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I think you can hit Manatee too with Essence Font being channeled. I'll have to double check that, but there's a couple things there are a couple monk spells you can use while channeling, which is like a key thing. So
yeah.
couple of bug fixes there. And they did do an update to the Brewmaster one, or I don't know if it's update, but they added, I guess, a four piece, the reworked four piece. I'm assuming this was already in the game. This is the one where it's keg smash dealing. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. So you're just updating the notes then on that piece. So. Yeah.
Updating the notes for it. Yep.
Gotcha.
Brewmaster four piece, still very good. I had a couple of people ask me if they thought it was going to get nerfed or what was going to happen to it, because it's extremely good in keys, like outstanding in keys, way better in keys than in raid. and my answer is I don't know, because they just removed AoE caps for a bunch of things, but this is clearly like way better than anything else in keys right now, because you can get to like 300k HP. It's kind of silly.
Gotcha.
And when you're at that point, your touch of death is actually like disgusting. Like if that's actually the level of HP we end up at in keys, you will play the touch of death ring. One that makes it a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
300k damage every minute by itself is, let's see, what is that? 5k DPS?
Yeah. Just say that's out of control. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Like, for one legendary item, yeah. There's no way that they will be adjusting the four piece in some way for Mythic Plus. I think they're going, like, it's in a good spot for raids. I think they're going to try and avoid nerfing any raid, but in Mythic Plus, it needs something.
nice. Yeah, so that's on just some set bonuses. I don't think there was any other tuning really done that affected monks too much. On the least on this build. So the other thing they came out and got ahead of was that Shards of Domination will essentially be disabled in all 9.2 content. So that's Zeras Mordith, Sepulcher, and continue to be disabled in all PvP and dungeons. So
New thing. So basically in Mythic Plus, they're going to be turned off.
Yeah, that's fair. Sorry.
The main thing that we didn't know was actually whether the gems themselves would be disabled or just the set bonus. Because obviously the set bonuses we already knew would not be enabled, because they're only enabled in the raid and in the maw and in Korthia. But we didn't know about the gems, and the gems themselves, like the top three damaging gems are worth, you know, 40 or 50 eye levels by themselves. So they're worth like not equipping pieces from the new raid in order to have those gems in, even without the set bonus. So that they are going to be entirely turned off is good. Just further reinforces how bad and poorly thought out the system was, that they have to like turn it off for like just, the items don't work.
gotcha. But, fair enough. Yeah, so that's good that they've at least gotten ahead of that, which I think people were, yeah, to your point, nervous that we'd have to keep these stupid items around beyond 9.1.5. so yeah, disabled all content, good change. The other thing too is they've updated the eye level recommendations for Jailer's Gauntlet, which is the boss rush mode we talked a little bit about last week. And they basically buffed it significantly, at least on the lower end. So well, I always got a post up with a table sort of comparing it, but previously it was recommended like just to start it, you'd have to be item level 170. Now they're recommending item level 230. So it's a huge jump. And I think just based on the WoWhead write-up, I, to be fair, have not tested this personally, but it seems like while the eye level recommendations have changed, the actual difficulty hasn't. So it's still fairly easy to get through some of the early layers. The only difficulty now is going to be reaching that item level to actually queue into the layers, right? Because I think that's the one thing that's going to hold you back. So, but yeah, that's sort of just a quick update. I don't think anybody really understands why, unless this precedes essentially a difficulty increase to the layers, right? So
right now it's fairly easy for a lot of specs. I'm probably not touching it because tanks
and there's a mount
target damage. Like I might, I'll run through it on my hunter for the mount.
Yeah.
But like doing a boss rush as a tank sounds miserable.
That's fair.
You know, it might not be too bad on Protection Paladin. Because if it resets your CDs every four, you just get to press all your CDs with Ashen and just go nuts, just over and over again. And that doesn't sound too bad. Brewmaster doesn't have anything like that.
Yeah. The other part would be you'd want to make sure you kill everything before Ashen runs out, right?
Yeah.
Because then you're basically left without cooldowns in that case. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, so they've updated that. We'll see if there's there's an accompanying actually difficulty increase to that piece too. So the other thing too is, as expected, basically the Keystone Master requirements, essentially the value or the rating amount that you need to get Keystone Master next season is increasing, just because they're also adding two new dungeons. So instead of being, I think it was what, 2K, right? Or
yeah, it's 2K Keystone for Keystone Master. It's
right now,
2,500.
2,500 next
which season. Is a big increase for only adding two dungeons.
Yeah,
like you get about 200 total for doing 15s on both Fortified and Tyrannical.
Yeah,
maybe it's a little bit higher than that, because I mean, if it's about 250, then that would work out to 2,500.
Yeah, almost exactly. I'm assuming they've just added, essentially, added two new dungeons. So, yeah. Well, to be fair, it's actually four additional runs, right? Because it's two new dungeons, but it's once on Tyrannical, once on Fortified.
Yeah. And actually, doing the math now, we have eight dungeons right now, 2K score, divide by eight, that's 250 per. So
yeah.
250 for each of the new dungeons does add up to 2,500. So this actually is perfectly in line with the current score. Kind of annoys me slightly because I've been working on my tank alts. And I keep running into this thing where I'm like, yes, I got a piece that I needed. Let me go and upgrade it. And I can't.
Yep.
Because my alt's mythic plus score is too low.
It's so annoying.
But then at the same time, I got 2K on my main and never upgraded a single item.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't any, I never got anything that I wanted out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a weird, I mean, when they made the change to rating over account wide achievements, it does. Yeah. It's annoying. Yeah. Because even on my main, I mean, I got lucky where I got two trinkets that I'd want to upgrade. Right. So I was able to upgrade those, but that's the only two things I would have wanted out of Mythic Plus. And if I never got those drops, I would have never had anything to upgrade either, right? Because everything else that I got was either sharded or traded away. So, just a rating update there. The other thing one of the final stories before we get into some of the rating topics is they have finally, not finally, but they've updated the Warlock tier set helm again. And this time we think they've removed all references to the white hood, graphic at this point. They've added golden horns, which is very on brand for Warlock sets. I think this will be how many tier sets have we had? 23, 24? This will be the 20th that has horns as a part of the set. It's a staple of Warlocks all the way back to tier two. So
I've heard a few people, when you look at this from the front, it looks like bunny ears.
Yeah. I was actually at the bottom left-hand picture, I think, on screen is definitely some bunny ears.
So now, if you are playing WoW and you're missing your bunny girl in Final Fantasy, well, play Warlock because you'll be good to go.
Got it. Yeah, you've got it right there for you. So,
but yeah, they adjusted the shape on this. It's no longer pointy. It's no longer white. It is still it fits with the set. But it also now has the horns as well. So they did go a very pointedly make it different from the KKK kind of white hood that it looked like before.
Oh my God. I don't know how that was a thing. I just don't know how. So finally new hood. Get that crap out of here and actually make something that isn't as offensive, which is nice. So cool. So then the only final topic I think this week was there was mythic grade testing both Thursday and Friday for four bosses. To be fair, I looked at nothing. So I don't know if you did it, if you participated, but I know absolutely nothing.
I did not do grade testing. There wasn't I started a new job this week, so I wasn't doing it. And there wasn't interest from other people on the officer team in my guild in trying to run it. So it just we didn't do mythic testing. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, Thursday, which was Desogne and Skolex, went fine. Yep. Skolex kind of like concerning because of some things with his tank combo. At least like I'm obviously playing tank, yeah. So like, I'm hearing about that bit where he can do like triple. So the tank combo thing, much like Grong or whatever the like fourth boss in Nihilotha was, like it's two different abilities. Each tank wants to take one of them, and you want to not have the same tank take two different abilities. Generally, right. Is like what you're doing. That's the basic idea. It can do three in a row of the same ability.
It's not good.
Which is another one where it's got so. I'm trying to remember the exact one for Skolex, but basically there's like one that you don't want to take back to back.
Yeah.
And one that you don't want to take two of, I want to say. I don't remember exactly. But the moral of the story, there's one that you don't want to take two back to back, or you don't want to take two of at all, basically. Yeah. And it can do three in a row of it. And that means that one tank has to take two.
Gotcha.
Which makes things very spooky. It's livable. It's definitely livable. But it's the kind of thing where that just puts insane pressure on your cooldowns, and like you probably would want some kind of cheat death for specifically that.
Right. Just live
through it. So that's the thing I heard about Skolex. And then Friday was just a complete shit show for mythic testing. Like delayed testing significantly. Like they put up an announcement saying like, hey, we're gonna have a boss ready to test in like 15 minutes because the time rolled around and they didn't have stuff ready to test. I don't even know if Lyhuvim got tested.
No, I know the couple of comments I saw around Artificer. Yeah, but the comments were more along the lines of this is either going to be a terrible boss or it's going to be a good boss. Yeah. And like the idea was that a lot of people were leaning towards terrible, but then some people were saying, oh, it's because like the stability wasn't there. The fight didn't operate properly, but if it operates the way we think it will, it'll be a good fight. So
yeah,
I think it's Friday seemed like a wash in terms of what testing they could have gotten done. Yeah. So
Zymox has some neat changes from the heroic version. Those other platforms in the room that we speculated about previously, do get used. You got to go over there and kill things. That's also one of the things you do is you can go over there and use that to avoid the rings of death.
Oh, okay.
Which is neat. And then there's still some very like strange things, like strange timing things with the tank mechanic. And some of this may be due to stability things where like the tank mechanic getting delayed by a few seconds because of server lag.
Yeah.
Just completely breaks the fight and you can't complete it because then the tank mechanic will grip everybody through one of the walls of death and everybody dies.
Gotcha.
So yeah. There's some things that's like, is this a real thing or is this a testing stability thing?
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that should be good.
But speaking of Painsmith, it's time for us to get started talking about Sanctum of Domination.
Yes.
I've got my team's progression stats ready to pull up. I'm not going to pull up Anam's because Anam's guild doesn't log consistently. Like they log. I'm sure every knight gets logged, but not every knight gets logged to the guild. So the stats are off. It's got them killing Fate Scribe after they finished Sylvanas by like 4 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you were just that good. We bought a lockout and just went in and killed Sylvanas to get the achievement, so.
Yeah, I mean, that honestly doesn't sound like an awful strategy.
It's true.
I wonder how much faster we could have killed it if we had bought a CE lock, like a 9 of 10 lockout.
And we would have, you would have skipped KT, yeah, because we got I'm trying to remember. Well, we can talk about it, but yeah, I don't think we got anything out of like KT or like any Guardians or Fate Scribes. That would have saved you like 2 weeks.
Four weeks off of our progression going through Painsmith and the next three.
Yeah.
Because we killed, 3 weeks. We killed Soul Render week 5 and we killed Kel'Thuzad week 8.
Not a bad strategy.
But yeah, so we're going to go through boss by boss and kind of just what happened. What do we think? Yeah. Kind of just talk about the boss, talk about our experience playing the boss, and, you know, go through it. Yeah, so starting off with the first boss in the instance, the infamous Anima Power boss, the Terror Gru.
Yep.
I'm not even going to bother pulling up stats for this. Like, how many pulls do you guys have?
We had five. So to be fair, this is a theme. If we ever do this and we talk about this in other raid tiers, I didn't kill this boss until after we killed Sylvanas. So I actually got the achievement for killing every boss on Mythic the week after we killed Sylvanas, when I finally got in on this one to kill it. So yeah, there's a theme where there'll always be one boss every tier that I never kill until afterward on progression. This was terrible for me. I sat every week until we killed Sylvanas. So yeah, yeah. I have no notes on this other than it seemed easy. They killed it in five pulls. So
this is a boss actually. Everybody basically went into this boss thinking, I'm going to take the highest damage anima powers. And yeah. I'm pretty sure I talked about this on the podcast around that time. Like, I'm going to take the highest damage anima powers. When actually the boss, all the abilities of the boss actually hit pretty hard. So we could have killed this in one pull instead of five if we had all gone and picked the defensive anima powers the first time.
Yeah.
And then just gone in and just not died. All you have to do on this fight is not die, and the boss will. Like, there's no extra step required. Just don't die and the boss will.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It seemed like that type of boss where it's like, don't make mistakes. Everybody lives to the end and you kill it. And so it was fun though. It was cool though.
I wiped this once being greedy with Invoke Nezo. and that's a mistake I did not make again.
Nice. I have zero ideas other than I know that the first time after Sylvanas for us that we went back and killed it. Our paladin took the stun talent and the stun one, it ended up stunning us and the boss during his mist thing and killing the entire raid.
Wait, the mist is supposed to stop if you stun the boss.
Well, I think the problem was that you're right, it did stop. Well, how do we die to that? We died for whatever reason to him dying and stunning a bunch of people. Maybe it was just the slow ticking of like the dots and stuff that people were low going in.
Or it could have been that he didn't actually stun the boss. And that's true. So the cast just went off and everybody died.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just I remember that distinctly doing the mist phase, dying, and then him dying and then getting stunned. Him dying too, like thinking he had like the reduction talent for AoE. So like he could stand out and like, So fun times with that one. I guess the next one is the eye. For us, like this one is one we killed still week one, pulled it in about 31 pulls for us. So think about very similar to you. I think you're pulling up at like 38, right, for your team. So the one thing too, so we killed it week one, but we also raid. So the one thing we do is we're generally a 2-night-a-week guild, except for the first week of Mythic. Well, we'll raid 4 nights. So basically we add 2 nights to our first Mythic week. To get ahead, and that'll be a theme here where that doesn't actually, if we compare ourselves to you guys, it doesn't actually work at all to that. Yeah. But no. So I mean, we killed it in about 31 pulls on the 15th of July, which I think was the Monday of the first week, if I remember correctly.
Go ahead.
No, sorry. What were you gonna say?
We killed it in 38. This is we had a really rough, like, between tiers for Castle Nathry and Sanctum, where, like, we lost our raid leader after Council of Blood. Then we lost our replacement raid leader after progression. And so we had tried to pick it up with the people we had, and we ended up, after Eye of the Jailer progression went as badly as it did for us, brought in somebody else to help with raid leading. So the story of what happened for us on this boss, I think you have a slightly different story for what happened with you guys, is we just like optimized around trying to get people dom sets, which on its face is good, but what we didn't do is pay enough attention to who is actually doing good damage to the priority targets and who wasn't. So we spent a lot of time, as you can kind of see from the chart here, we spent a lot of time wiping in the intermission. All of those dots are at exactly the same point. Like, that means the boss HP is at 66%. That's intermission one, or the dots are, you know, there at intermission two. And there's the one very frustrating, we could have killed this in like 10 pulls. Boss is at 5%. Somebody, like, nobody soaked the chains, and so it kept like pulling one person off at a time because everybody kept not soaking it.
Gotcha.
Great. But yeah, we needed to pay more attention to who was doing good priority damage to the adds, because we had some people that were losing to tanks.
Yeah.
And we were that ultimately is what the problem was, because we just couldn't kill them before we died to the dot. Is really the thing that kept happening.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I think our issues were more on healer CDs in the intermission. So we literally spent our first night wiping in intermission one, like almost probably of the 31 pulls, probably like 15 to 18 of them. Just because like we weren't, I'll say, as clearly defined in like how we're going to heal through it. Like, I don't pay attention much on the damage side, so maybe it was a priority damage stuff, but we didn't really swap like damage around. It was more just like trying to figure out how to heal through it.
Right.
So yeah, which, so that was sort of, sorry.
Which intermission strategy did you use? The one where all the regos left and then you chain over, or the one where you like split and cleave?
So we split. So we basically did a split and then a swap at seven stacks or six stacks. Okay. So yeah, so we basically did the split. Yeah, we did that one, which like we never really wiped to the actual like split not working well. Like, our tanks were really good about one tank chaining, the other one taking a warlock gate across the front. So like the mob stayed fairly central, and our teams worked really well at moving.
Swapped the tanks too.
We swapped everybody. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Which might have been also a factor in the strat there. But the biggest the biggest problem for us was that as we went through the swap was right around the time there was a big AoE. So there was like AoE, high stacks of a dot, lots of movement. So like we had to get the healing right going through that to make it work. And our healing comp was like, it was fine. It was Disc, Paladin, me on a Mistweaver, and then a Shaman, right? So we were fine for healing. It just like, I wasn't Venthyr yet. It was on my Mistweaver. So it just, I feel like I always like probably take the blame more than I should. Maybe our strat was bad, but yeah, we swapped everybody, which once it clicked, it worked well. But yeah, it was a rough. This was like the one boss where like, if I go back and say, if we could have cleaned this up in like 5-10 pulls, like that would have been great.
This is the eye is one that factored heavily in kind of morale and just everything for us, because, you know, we have another raid team in our guild. We took almost 40 pulls. They took like 20. Yeah. And traditionally, we're fairly close to them, usually like a week or two behind them on their CE kill. And to have that large of a gap on the second boss was a real downer. And it's something that we really spent kind of the rest of the tier recovering from. And so, yeah, that was a major negative for us this tier. As far as the boss itself, I hate the eye. There's nothing I like about the eye. Absolutely nothing.
I like the eye now.
the eye on heroic is a boring but fine boss. Eye on mythic just has like the intermission, I think, got overloaded. There are three different ways for your raid to instantly wipe. You can have the eyes get too close to each other. You can have two people with opposite debuffs touch.
Yeah.
Or you can have somebody with a desolation beam clip anybody. They don't have to clip the whole raid. They just have to clip one person, and then it chains to the rest of the group. And then you die.
Yeah.
And so there's three different ways you just instantly wipe, which I can't think of another boss that has three different, like, oops, your raid's dead mechanics in the same phase that I've ever done. There's you know, you probably wipe now because you know you lost a healer or you lost your like important DPS for this or whatever, but that's not the same. And then just the dot wasn't like the dot, and this may be me playing tank, but the dot felt miserable. Like, it just sucked all the fun out of the intermission because I spent the whole time, like, feeling like I'm about to die because I am about to die unless I get blasted with heals. And, like, Celestial Brew only goes so far. Purifying Brew is useless. The adds are also casters, so they move like Jaina does, which added to the frustration. I just, like, there's really not anything that I like about this boss.
No, I would, yeah. And I, even as a healer, I think that it does the one thing that I don't like on fights, which it doesn't telegraph the big damage events very well, because the eye is the one casting the raid-wide AoE, and no one is ever looking at the eye. Everyone's looking at the ad. So, like, that was the biggest thing for me, is like, well, we should be pretty straightforward of, like, seeing, okay, it's going to do this big AoE, you can kill it. It just, or you need healing. It just never, like, the timer's never lined up with the damage. It's, even to this day, like, I never remember when it's going to do a bunch of damage to the raid.
Yeah.
I just, we have too much gear now, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, at the time, it's like, it was very frustrating, so.
Yeah. Yep. But moving on from that, we have one of the easiest bosses this entire expansion, the Nine.
Oh, okay, maybe not.
Whopping three pulls. 1, 2, 3. First one, I want to say we wiped to a mist soak. Second one was to just fragment dispels going wrong and just kind of slowly bleeding out because we didn't get all the fragments dispelled.
Yeah.
And then we killed it.
Yeah, we didn't do that. So we took 18 pulls actually across two raid nights. Again, this was I think this was another one where, like I talked earlier about healing cooldowns, we ended up six healing this to eventually kill it.
We started six healing, which I think was correct. We also, did you guys start on this on week one and then go into week two with it?
No, this is, we killed it week one still. So we killed it basically, we raided, like I said, we raided like what, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Monday. So we killed it on the Monday of the first week. I was wrong. The eye we actually killed on the Thursday of the first week. But yeah, I mean, it was 18 pulls, which was a lot. And we had 1.5% wipe like the Thursday before, right? Which was close, but we just never got, I feel like, again, we never got the healing right because it was so long. There were so many instances where we might need it. We also used our sixth healer was like one of our shadow priests, which, I mean, they stepped in and did great. But like, dispelled everything that we could wipe to, we did wipe to on this boss, which was like missing a mechanic, screwing up dispels, and just generally not having the healing to like get through certain parts of the fight was like just a, this boss to this day is, I hate this boss with such a passion.
This boss I don't mind because you just like add more healers and then the boss like just, the fight goes on. The fight takes a million years still. The boss,
that's the
Cigna, has too much HP. The third boss that comes down, too much HP. The boss just goes on for too long. I wish the cadence of the mechanics were slightly faster and the boss just had less health. So you still have the same fight, but the fight was faster and also shorter. Because that's one of the other things too, is the there's just so much time where nothing happens.
Yeah.
It's just nothing happening so much. Just standing there, getting smacked in the face, waiting for the next thing to go off.
Yeah. And like the movement's weird and like, I don't know. I think we've talked about this where like there's a point in that fight and it's generally, so we start where the mobs are in the back and basically on the first set of orb, like AOE or whatever, AOE defensive zones, we rotate to like the front of the instance. And then the next set we rotate to like the right side of the, as you walk in, we're over there. And whenever we get to that point, I'm always like, cool, fight should be over in like 10 seconds. And the boss always has like 30 to 40% health at that point. I'm like, this is absolutely ridiculous. Like, I feel like at this point, like the fight should just be over. But yeah, I agree. Way too much health. And honestly, to be fair, once we figured out healing and like we're able to actually like push our buttons when we needed to and did enough healing to get through the tough parts, the boss fell over. So it's fairly uninteresting. It just, this was like another one of those pieces where like, I think our healers just weren't prepared for this particular boss. So,
Then we get to Remnants of Ner'zhul, which I actually really like this boss. I like the positioning, the knockbacks. The thing that annoys me is really the bugs around picking up the orb. There's a bunch of things you can do to like break the orb and end up with a slow but not the orb and have to like call somebody else to get it for you. Once you know what those things are, it's easy to not do them, but it's still like learning what those things are cost us like 4 or 5 pulls where I just like went to pick up an orb, didn't have it, couldn't pick it up, and had to call for somebody else to get it. And that just like that cuts your damage because the DPS is dropping everything to go pick up an orb. It's increasing the healing requirement because you're getting extra dots out. And it's just very frustrating.
I mean, that I also really enjoyed this. I think it was cool to like the movement around the instance, making sure or around the room, making sure positioning was good. It's funny looking at like your graph of attempts versus ours, like where you stay very much around like that 50% HP mark for most of your attempts and then all of a sudden kill it. Like we were very quickly getting to like an average of like 40% health, basically right around the third shatter timing. Within like the first or two, like within the first night, really, within like the first probably 10 pulls, and we just couldn't get past that point for like another probably like 40 pulls, right?
This is another one I think that we struggled on in part because of the like just all the changes and figuring things out with the raid leading. We had somebody who is out on this boss, but they were normally the one that does our calls, and so they were attempting to 21st man, but the delay in like this, just the stream delay in Discord, like losing that extra second and a half. Like there's a couple of overlaps of the puddles coming out, the silence puddles with the master spell where you need to have the spell happen as soon as the puddles are out of the way. And just that extra delay meant that it wasn't happening in time. Like, because there's like layers of delay, right? There's the stream delay to the person making the call. Then the person making the call has to actually make the call. Right. Then the person that has to do the dispel has to actually do the dispel. So there's like multiple layers of delay here. And when you add like a second to one of them, it just doesn't, it doesn't work very well. There were also other things. We had some stuff with the weak auras that we were trying to, that we started with that we ended up adopting a different one. Like we were trying to have near far called by a weak aura for like when you do the double dispel with a mass.
Gotcha.
That ended up not working out very well. The way we do it now is we just have the raid leader call it. But with the other issues we were having with calls.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, I think the only thing we did was we ended up basically we put markers around the room. So the only thing our raid leader would call is what marker we're dispelling at. And then it's up to the two people who get the debuff to figure out who's far and who's close, basically. Right. And like there's certain classes that are always far, like our druids, our hunters, like our warlocks. Yeah, we're always far. Right. Like I was always far if I was in it. And the other thing, too, is like if it's two classes, so if it's like two hunters or like a boomkin and a hunter, or like me and a mage, right? Like somebody would just plant their feet outside and just say, I have outside. Like we generally left it up to like someone calling it. The only thing our raid leader would do is basically call positioning in the room. So we had raid markers. Basically every raid marker was at like a different cardinal point, but like all the points. And then would also call like before or after certain mechanics. So it was either like after the, whatever this, the beam ability is, or like before it, or like after puddles, before puddles, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was for us. And yeah, we had about 53 pulls on this, like I said. And I think it was a lot of it was just getting through that third shatter because we'd end up with, of course, like different push timings, right? So sometimes we'd get a beam so we could clear the orbs and get the orbs off before the third shatter. And then that meant we were just healthier in general. We wouldn't have as many dots out, or we wouldn't do it in time. We'd get the shatter, you know, orbs would still be up, and then we get another set of orbs right away. So there'd just be a ton of debuffs and we'd tick out, right?
You died.
So it was
missing a beam on that fight early on was basically a wipe. Nowadays you can heal through it, but early on, like if you missed a suffering on a set of orbs, you probably just died.
It was rough. But I mean, I think this boss was really cool. I actually really liked this boss in terms of like the movement getting knocked back. It was a different take on debuff management and stuff like that. So we had a shaman though that was a little dispel happy to the point where we had to have him take dispel off his bars, our resto shaman, through progression. We were like, you literally just don't dispel on this fight, everyone else will handle it. So
that was fun.
So
that brings us to Soul Render Dormezain. I think you guys killed this faster than us. We killed it in 45 pulls, about 5 hours of progression. This is a fine fight. I actually like elements of this, but it also has some bits of, like, for the first like 3 minutes, there's a lot of gaps where there's just not much happening. And then the last like 2 minutes, there's just back-to-back-to-back mechanics and overlaps, which is challenging and more fun, but definitely like backloads the difficulty of the fight a lot. And obviously we were doing this after the week one hot fixes that just like nerfed the damage taken and the HP of the boss. The main things that we really struggled with on this fight were, one, people not getting the damage amplification debuffs positioned on the ads. That was actually a major thing because we were dealing, we were putting more damage into the ads, or as much. I mean, obviously, they have a fixed amount of health. So if you kill them and another team kills them, you dealt the same amount of damage to them. But the amount of damage before the damage amplification, which goes up to 100%, like you can do double damage on these, was literally almost twice as much. So we were just being really inefficient with our debuffs. And we also had my co-tank was playing his blood decay ult for this, but it was kind of like a last minute thing. So he came in and he was like 232 or something. And the boss actually like hits really hard. He's got really, really big auto attacks. And the tank debuff overlaps, so both tanks will have it for about 5 seconds.
Gotcha.
And so he was hunting back early and just getting one shot because he's a blood decay, taking double physical damage from a boss that has large auto attacks. So we did we fixed the taunt thing, and then we ran him through heroic and just like fed him plate gear, and he came back in at like 240 and then killed the boss. Like, that's, you can see on our chart, like Sunday August 8th going into Friday August 12th. Actually, I think we might have done, yeah, Sunday August 8th to Friday August 12th. Like, that's what we did. We almost killed it on Sunday. But we just like, we had a couple pulls. One of them we didn't kill the ads in time. The other one we missed the chain, or somebody died with it. Oh, one of them, somebody potted with a chain, which is the worst. So normally when somebody's doing chains, they die, chain drops, and somebody else can pick it up and run it. If they pod, they keep it.
And then you can't drop it, yeah. Yep. Then it'll time out, yeah. Yeah, I mean, our progression, luckily for us, we ended up with a blood. We have a DK that has prayed with us forever. And he's not generally a tank, but he's always our like third tank. So if there's ever a fight where we need a third tank, he's the person that steps in. So in this fight, we had the perfect, we dropped our monk and went warrior blood DK for the kill. And yeah, it was, I mean, for us, the ad management after the first, like our first couple pulls were sort of our blood DK, like learning, okay, how do I pull this? How do I get everything grouped up right? Do I need help? Because a lot of times you're like rooting them or bumping them just to give him a better stuff.
Which roots are banned. No roots
allowed. Yeah, yeah. We found that like roots are bad. And just like we used to say like, okay, after the grips root and that way we're better, but at a certain point we're like, just don't ever use them. Similarly with like Ring of Peace, don't ever use it because it'll mess up a grip.
I was using Ring of Peace, and I still use Ring of Peace to knock the ads away from the Overlord.
Okay.
Because you can, the CCs we're using, you can knock them away with a ring. That means that you don't get accidental glee from the Overlord breaking the CC. And it also means that the ads, even if they do get their CC broken, are outside of his CC immunity circle.
Okay.
So, you can CC. So gotcha. But it's the very first thing, like, this is, you know, happening well before any grips are going off.
Yeah.
This is before the Overlord even spawns, this ring is getting dropped, so.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was never that quick, so we sort of banned that for me. But yeah, no, and then the typical things I think we wait to were just like people. I like that. To be fair, a lot of our raid grounds, Sorry, the swirlies. That's what I was gonna say. Swirlies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what, and we died of that because a lot of our we only had one paladin here. So all of our barrier and spirit link required you to be close. So we lost a couple people there to that. And barrier's bad, and even spirit link's bad to an extent for seeing your feet.
Barrier is so bad because it's it's a white ground effect underneath the barrier. It's just really difficult to see.
Yeah.
Disregarding the other people that are there.
Exactly. So did a couple wipes of that, but no, in general, I felt really this was where I think I put in the notes, this is where we sort of locked in, spent a lot more time on healer cooldowns here, at least from my standpoint, and locked that in terms of calling stuff and making sure everything was there. So yeah, a handful of wipes to chains and stuff like that, but we had a good run here. I think the biggest thing that helped us here, actually, which I didn't put in the notes, but it's that we had a really good re-clear. So we basically one shot pretty much every boss up to this point. So we had, I think, a solid probably 10 to 12 attempts on the boss on Tuesday on our first raid day that week, which gave us enough time to then kill it, the second raid day we had. So,
yeah.
That was Soul Render. I mean, I would say as a boss, I'm fine with it. I think it's a fine mid-tier boss. I think it's got enough going on that it's interesting. It's not boring. But other than to your point, the first half of it, right? Because it's funny, the first, what is it? Because I do healing cooldowns. There's only one event. There's only one set of chains in the first,
right,
3.5 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And so,
and then there's cooldown more.
And then there's three in, the next 3 minutes. So, cooldown-wise, of course, healers always I want to use, why am I only using Aura Mastery, once this entire fight? I'm like, well, look at the timings. You either use it with we use everything on the first one, or we have nothing for the second chains, and then we use everything on the third, and we have nothing for the fourth one. So it's we just have to spread them out. And yeah, I think our priest holds barrier for 4.5 minutes or something, just because of the way the cooldowns play out. So
yeah,
that is the one. That is the one awful. Before the first intermission phase, there's nothing happens, but after that, it just pops off. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on to what I will say is my favorite boss of this raid.
Painsmith
Reznil. I love this boss. This boss is great. This boss, when it works, as I mentioned earlier, server lag, instance lag, breaks this boss in half. It does not function if you're lagging at all. We raid on the weekend, so we almost never have to deal with instance lag. We did 1 week, and we had on reclear, and we just had to say, we're just not killing Painsmith this week. Because it so this fight has extremely tight timers. Everything about this fight is unforgiving, but it's unforgiving in a way that also feels fair. So it's when you die, it's because you messed up. Not because the RNG screwed you, not because of anything else. When you died, you messed up.
Right, yeah.
And those extremely tight timers, for example, cast of the traps gets delayed by 2 seconds in phase two, it is not possible to avoid having two traps explode and overlap.
Right.
And so you get a little bit of instance lag at the wrong time. Suddenly you're getting a trap explosion that's going to deal 150,000 magic damage to your entire raid, and you're dead. That's it.
Yeah. Done. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I love this fight.
Yeah, I mean, I had a blast killing this fight, I think. Yeah, to be fair, it's probably probably my favorite boss, I think, in the instance. So yeah, so we did it. I think we did an 86 kills.
Which is impressive. Sorry, 86 that's a very low pull count for this boss.
Yeah. Let me just double check, because I'm using prog stats, which I think you said was broken. Yeah, 86.
There's some you guys are missing raid knights on prog stats, basically.
Yeah.
And I could tell because your fate scribe is completely wrong on this, and your number of four Sylvanas is off by one raid knight. So there's just a raid knight missing. But yeah.
So according to Wowhead, or sorry, not Wowhead, Warcraft Logs, we did 86 pulls on Painsmith, which seems like a lot. Like we were there for a lot longer. We did it in 2.5 basically full raid nights. I guess is impressive. I mean, I think most of our wipes, of course, were really not even to, I'd say, the intermission. but it was to be fair, the phase two section of the fight, right?
Like wave.
No. Well, like the wave. So like when the wave starts coming, it's like that phase two of doing balls, dodging spikes, being in certain positions, right? So that was where we lost the majority of the people. This was just, I think, an all around an interesting fight. Even from like, I feel like from a DPS perspective, it was fun because you had like a lot of like movement while keeping up your damage. From a healing perspective, there was a lot of healing, but it never felt overwhelming. And it was just enough of a stress to like keep you in the game. And I'd say like the intermission healing was like, honestly, just ridiculous. I'd say it didn't seem like a lot, but the second intermission healing, like it just sneaks up on you in terms of like the dot that's ticking and the amount of healing you have to put in while also like moving and dodging spike waves. So
the pacing on this boss is great. Very happy with this boss. For us, I think the two major things that wiped us were just people getting hit by spikes, either in the intermission or crossing the spike wave. And then melee walking into balls, like trying to, not the opposite of that. Melee not hitting balls.
Gotcha.
Melee not hitting balls, meaning that then they didn't die in time. So that puts you in this really awkward spot of having to like, you either have to like cross the spike wave, then move back and go through the wave of the wall of balls. Or you go through the ball wave and immediately cut across the spike wave. Both of those are like pretty hard to do. It's significantly easier if you just kill the balls 3 seconds sooner, move through, and then cross.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That was always, luckily for us, like our melee, at least the melee that do a lot of damage, or actually, to be fair, all of our melee, I make fun of them all the time, but like, I feel like all of our melee are pretty on point in terms of like swapping. It's our range that like to pad, I feel, a little bit. Our melee are normally pretty good about that stuff. So we very rarely wiped to balls being killed slowly. At least when we had everybody alive, like you'd always, you know, get that sort of late when you lost so much people, we rarely wiped that. It was really just getting people to cross those spike waves was the biggest thing. Cause we had the intermissions pretty well locked down. And we only had, I think, a handful of phase three wipes. Like if I'm looking at like WoW progress, I would say, like, what's that? 2, 4, 6, like 8 of our 86 wipes were in phase three. 9 of our 86 wipes were in phase three. Yeah, so
I mean, once you get into phase three, it really does kind of fall over.
Yeah. I think like the first couple of times seeing it, we didn't get the movement right with like charging versus like running away. Our tanks were really good, so they had already cooldowns planned out for like when they needed bops and stuff to cross. So no, but this, yeah. I mean, I think everybody will agree this is probably the fight of this tier. Like this will be the one people remember as being like one of the best ones, right? Very very Gorfine-esque in terms of a wall, like a mid-tier wall. So
yeah. Which I think did have downsides for just like progression for most guilds through the tier. Like there's a lot of guilds that died on Paintsmith. It is a fun boss. I really, really like it. And honestly, I think this fight wouldn't have had so much issues with guilds if it weren't for raids being 20 people. Like this boss would be great with 10 men. Where it's just easier to field the number of people required to continue progressing the boss.
That's very true. Yeah, plus I mean the changes they made too, I think, were very helpful, because like the original iteration, which we saw for a night of pulls, was like intense.
The no gap spike wave
no gap spike wave was intense for sure. So all right, cool. So I think moving on to Guardians, which I have nothing to say here other than we killed it the same night we killed Painsmith, killed it in 8 pulls. I think as long as you had healing cooldown set up, like this boss fell over, like there's nothing happens.
The only thing that really wipes you, and this is what we wipe to, there's two things. One is somebody doesn't soak and obliterate. Somebody doesn't soak and obliterate, then you die. That's like missing like an entire wave of bombs on a pylon. Coincidentally, the other thing that can wipe you is missing bombs on a pylon.
Yeah.
So like just those two things, like obviously you can also wipe to tank deaths. I don't think we really did. It was really those two things, by and large, that killed us. But you know, once you get through that, the boss dies.
Yeah. Did you end up doing two or three soaks for progression? Do you remember? Two or three AoEs.
I think we did two.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might have been split. Like it might have been something as well where we did like 3-3-3 or 3-3-2.
Okay.
Where like just the last one we just didn't do as much. We might have done three on progression. I honestly don't remember. I'm not a healer. I didn't pay attention to
the reason
for it. But I did try, so related to the legendary stuff for next year, I did try the Kyrian Covenant Legendary on this boss because it gives you Invoke Nia's Out. And this is like the poster child for like what is a good fight for Invoke Nia's Out because it's just high, consistent physical damage.
Right, yeah.
And I actually had a pull that would have been great. It would have been like top 10 Brewmaster parses. It would have been great. And then the pull, we actually killed it. I just dodged way too much. I wasn't like cheesing it by canceling my dodge.
Yeah.
Like I'm not doing that on progression. I haven't done it on farm either, but I'm not definitely not doing it on progression. Just dodged way too much and did less damage than I would have playing a different legendary.
Oh man. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this fight's 100% forgettable in terms of like what it actually is. So
I do like it. I do like it. It's just like it was really not a big factor. Like the fight just has this flexibility in like how you approach it, like bringing more healers versus bringing more DPS. And it just ended up being that people found a strategy for it that made both the healing checks and the DPS checks like not a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I must think if they would have upped the overall health of the boss by like even like 5 or 10%. Cause I like even on our kill, like our original kill, like we lost people and we still made it, right? Like we did see the final purging protocol, I think, on our kill, or maybe the wipe before it, right? But it was close enough where it was like, just don't die and we kill it. Like do the same thing we just did and it dies. There was never like that sort of like, all right, we have to find like damage. Like we have to find damage somewhere. It was always just like,
I do think that coming off of Painsmith, having a relatively easy boss is fine.
Yeah, I think the other problem too is like nowadays with how much we know about bosses, like when we get to bosses, we know so much about them. Like it's almost like we just know we get through Painsmith and it's like an easy loot pinata, right? Type boss, which sort of is somewhat of a, I don't know, somewhat of a downtrot, like a downside to me. Like if this was like maybe like a 20-ish pull boss, that would have been a little bit better than just like 8. And to be fair, we probably like, I think we had like our third pull was like a 10% wipe or something. So like we could have killed this in under 5. So
next up, second least favorite boss this tier. Actually, is it my least favorite boss this tier? This was might be my least favorite. Fatescribe Rokkalo. Fuck this boss. So this boss, we took 44 pulls. I don't know what you guys took.
49 for the 49. Kill. So very similar.
So we watched other guilds wipe a bunch to Grim Portent and made very, very sure that everybody knew what to look for. We wiped like once or twice to it because it's still, I'm pretty sure there's something with like particle culling that hides the animation of your could hide the animation of your Grim Portent. But we had everybody turn their graphic settings up to limit the possibility of that happening. And just didn't really wipe to Grim Portent. However, as you can see on this chart, there's a bunch of intermission pulls here. These are just like dying to the runes not getting run. Plain and simple. Very, very annoying fight. There's actually like layers of annoying because missing a rune kills the raid. And I think that's honestly probably okay. What really gets me is that they added this like Threads of Fate mechanic where there's the line from the rune to the boss. And if you touch it, you take like 20K damage per second for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And if you're on your own rune, you can still get hit by it by being in the center of the rune. It's so dumb. So you have to stand on like the tippy outside tip of it. And
That's like we very like I think we had maybe one or two people die to that, because that was like, so you guys focused on Grimportant, which we didn't talk about at all. We were just like, here's a picture of the graphic, look out for it. That's about the extent of it. But we spent a lot of time with like, never dodge inside, always dodge to the outside if you're like walking your rune. And so like that was sort of drilled into us when we did it. That was what like our raid leader focused on. So we didn't wipe to that too much. But
when we started this progression, it's something that we found out kind of during progression, that it hits you
gotcha
while you're on your own rune, which granted, I'm also never doing runes because I'm a tank, so I definitely was focused on other things. But
so we went to that. I mean, and then to be fair, our graph looks pretty similar to yours. We basically wiped a lot to the start, like to intermission one, and then once we got through that, I think we had maybe again like 5-6 phase three wipes. Like after you get through both intermissions, the final one's pretty simple. But
We went basically straight from intermission one to phase three. Yeah. Like as soon as we got through intermission one, we figured out our problems. That means you can get through intermission two because it's exactly the same. And then you just have to do phase three. Phase three is the next spot with new mechanics. One other thing that I really don't like about this boss is what they did to the adds. Namely that they can no longer be kicked.
Oh yeah.
And that just, like, I don't think they intended people to like line of sight the ads.
I don't know what that's what we did too. I mean, you check it against the wall. Yeah.
I don't know what they were thinking. Like, the ranged stand outside of the cast range, and the melee stand behind the pillar when the cast goes off.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were thinking. If that was the plan, they should have just let us keep kicking it. It would have been way less annoying. Like, it's not even about difficulty. Like, obviously, it would be easier if you could kick it.
Right.
But it's not, like, difficult in a way that's fun and interesting. It's just annoying.
Yeah. It's just unfun in terms of that. Yeah. And I'd say, like, yeah, Fate Scribe. I think the other thing we wiped to, too, which was sort of annoying, was, like, this is one where we relied heavily on a weak aura to assign everything out. Yeah. And like people like not having the right version, or like just not going to their rune and not saying anything. Or I did this. I went to the wrong rune once, which was fun. So yeah, that was a couple wipes there. But no, healing wise too, this is a pretty uninteresting boss. Like cooldowns when the tank adds come out, and then if you hold for like good timing right after the tank ad comes out and have to kill all the little adds, and then you want to push, there's a little bit of additional healing there from like the what is that, the fate, whatever, the dot cast. Twist of fate.
Yeah,
twist of fate. Yeah. But no, I think
this is another one with HP push timings.
Yeah,
that you can make the fight significantly easier if you stop damage. Like you get your you either skip a tank add by pushing it past the health threshold before it happens, or you stop below the health threshold so another mechanics happen. Kill the tank ad, kill the adds that spawn from it, and then push the boss. And doing that, like, that's another thing, is just like very beating it's fine, but stop it, Blizzard, please.
I guess. And the only other final thing was like we initially didn't send a healer across to the far side of the room in the intermission and got a couple people killed doing that. So that was sort of another, like, after about 3 or 4 times in the intermission, I had to make that change. And then that healer dying was always, that was our shaman that would just like space out sometimes. So that was annoying. But no, it was, I agree. The boss, it's definitely not my least favorite boss in the instance. We're about to talk about that one, but it is definitely an unfun boss, I'll say.
So next up, Kel'Thuzad. Awful. So this fight got changed significantly after both of our progression. To basically to eliminate the least fun part of it, which was sitting on your hands for multiple minutes. Well, I mean, it wasn't multiple minutes, but you wait 40 seconds to push out of phase one. You wait 55 seconds to push out of phase two. And just like have to sit there and do nothing while you wait for your healing CDs to come back up. Because basically what happened is that you would just put all of your healing CDs on the spikes, every single one. You would play four healers, you drop your spirit link, your barrier, your AM, whatever else on your on the spikes. They're all 3-minute cooldowns, and then you delay things enough so that you have your 3 minutes back up for the next set of spikes. That was the strategy. Very, very early guilds also used the Fate Scribe tank trinket, the cheat death, to cheese the mechanic on this one. They would have DPS taunt the boss, get murdered by the tech mechanic. And then because they died to the tank mechanic, the adds wouldn't spawn. And so that just removed a major part of the fight. That got fixed. But they took forever to actually fix the thing with Kel'Thuzad, just push timers. And the way they ended up doing it was basically nerfing glacial spikes so that you didn't need to put three or four damage reduction cooldowns on it to survive it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was healing wise, it was the worst type of boss where it's just like you wait for the damage event, use everything at once, and then nothing happened in between those points. Like there was no other additional healing. There was no other scary part of the fight from there. It was literally like, use cooldowns at this point, wait 3 minutes, hope your DPS can put it together and kill things when they need to kill things from an intermission perspective, and then you get to use your cooldowns again. So I'll say that, I mean, to the majority of our wipes and progressions, we took about 50 pulls, so right around, I think, the same as you, or a little bit less.
Talk about why.
And for us, all of our wipes were in either intermission, and then they were all basically because we couldn't time it. Like it just either we killed the top too fast and we get respawns, or we'd kill the bottom, like, or we couldn't, or we'd kill the bottom too soon and everything would be empowered and one shot the raid, right? So
yeah, that's actually one thing. So on heroic, the adds gain the thing where they respawn. Mythic adds the thing where they do triple damage. And the banshees become unkickable. That was unnecessary. Like forcing you to line up your push timings on the bottom and top when it's the top's AoE and the bottom is single target.
Oh yeah.
It was and technically, so there's a weak card that's great. That basically the adds take 10 seconds to respawn?
Yep.
So once the timer on the phase hits 10 seconds, you know you can kill them, and either you're dead because the bottom doesn't push or they're not going to respawn.
Right.
But the banshees have like no health.
I don't envy our tanks in terms of like the movement up there, because like basically they eventually got it down to a science, but like the fact that we're like they move the big guys, the abominations, basically from like add to add, and then there was like hopefully the AoE did enough that they moved it at the right time and they still died. But yeah, that upper, because I never went down, so I was always up top, and that was just unfortunate, like in terms of like the movement there. It's a type of movement that I hated when I tanked, which was like very precision based, and like the fact where if you're even a half a second slow in moving something, you basically have screwed the attempt. Not for a fault of your own, just because enough like cleave hit an ad that it got low enough that dots ticked it and killed it, right?
Usually how the banshees spawn is there's one off by itself and then the other two relatively close. So what we would do is we would take both abominations over to the solo one, let them cleave it down to about half, then take it over to the grouped one, then our windwalker would hit his CDs and go nuts. And the range would finish off the far banshee. At least that was the idea. Definitely like our number one source of wipes was the intermission, was trying to get those two things lined up. Part of our issue as well was actually that we had 2 or 3 boomkin that we were sending downstairs to just like basically do the downstairs for us. That was a mistake. And it's a mistake for a couple reasons. One, there's just a lot of movement downstairs that a lot of things to dodge that just kill you if you don't dodge them. So it's not like they can greet a cast and like go unpunished. If they greet a cast and get killed, we die. The whole raid wipes.
Yeah.
That's it. But also if they move and lose their rav, we die. The whole raid wipes. And then rav's damage is backloaded in the last 5 seconds of it. So it made it extremely difficult to tell what we needed to do, because sometimes everything would be fine. Like the phase is 40 seconds long, rav ends about 30 seconds in, and sometimes that's when the phase ended. Like the phase ended 30 seconds in because all three of them had good ravs and all three of them had crits during their rav burst, and the fight just ended. And sometimes one of them would miss it, and then it would end, or they would have a less good rev. They would still get it. I mean, if they missed it, we died.
Yeah.
But they would have a less good rev, and so it would end right at that, like, 0 second mark. And those two cases are very different in terms of where you want to kill the banshees.
Exactly.
And that was a major consistency issue. For re-kills, like, the boom can stay upstairs and we send 2 minute classes downstairs.
For us, the one difference we did with DPS cooldown, so we offset boomkin. So we offset our larger cooldown, our larger damage thing. So, like, in the first intermission, while we'd send both boomkins down, only one would CD. And then the second intermission, another one would CD. We also did that with, like, Ashe and Hollow and some other big cooldowns. Basically, like, our raid leader plays a mage and plays, like, basically focuses most on, like, the DPS and stuff like that. So he basically built out when people are using cooldown. So, like, the idea would be is, like, you're using it in this intermission. When you use it beforehand, I don't care. Just, like, make sure it's up for this piece. And the sword will need the damage. So, like, that's how we ended up handling it. And then we made, like, different small adjustments to get us there if we were off. But we still have the same thing even today where, like, a boomkin will use cooldowns. They'll be ahead at the bottom and they'll be like, stop DPS bottom. And our boomkin will just be like, I didn't hit a button for the last 15 seconds and still did 5% of the phylactery's health, like, by myself, essentially, because things crit or they get a good pull. Yeah. So this boss, I mean, to me, this is one of the worst to me. And I've said this before. I think this is the worst boss, like the worst penultimate boss, and then the worst boss that Blizzard has designed in a very long time, just because I don't think it ever came together. And the reasons you wipe are not reasons that are, like, they're annoying reasons, because it's not like one person's fault or one, like, the way you're handling a mechanic's fault. It's like, you just crit more than you did last pull, so the timing was different. And, like,
And it's one thing. So, for example, a lot of fights have this thing where you have to kill two targets at the same time or within 10 seconds of each other, or you wipe, basically. Like, Stone Legion General is not a great boss, but it had this. Like, basically every Counts boss has this in some way. Yeah. Then, like, the Intermission in the Eye, you know, you have to kill both within 10 seconds or you wipe. But you can kill either one first. It doesn't matter which one you kill first. You can then clean up the second one. If on Kel'Thuzad, the damage amplification applied 10 seconds after you pushed out of the phylactery phase, it would have been a whole different ballgame. Mm-hmm. But it didn't. It applied immediately. So you had to always have those banshees dead when you pushed out of the phylactery, or their cast would become uninterruptible and any projectiles that they sent out would one-shot people.
Right.
And that basically meant that if you pushed it out with banshees alive, you were dead. And so that meant that you had to get the adds down first. The tank adds, you can hit, like, a monk can hit defensive CDs and tank them for a while. But, like, you have to do it in a specific order, and that actually made things a lot worse.
It's just this boss. It's so, and then they totally changed it for reprogression, which was fun to relearn it, like, the week after Sylvanas getting back there. So,
yeah, it was a lot improved.
I would say the new version is definitely a lot better, but to be fair, even the new version is like I'd say it's like a mid-tier type boss in terms of, like, difficulty, right? Like, I'd put it below, you know,
it got a lot better, but it got a lot easier.
Yeah, exactly. So,
So,
I guess now we got the last maybe 10 minutes or so to talk about Sylvanas.
Sylvanas. And my team's progression is actually so tall on this website that I can't even put the boss name in here.
Yeah.
So we took a bit longer than you did on this boss. We took 283 pulls, 38 hours. We were on this boss for 6 weeks. Well, kind of 5 weeks, because we only had part of a night the first week. But this boss was rough for my team. We spent a lot of time wiping in phase one and wiping in intermission one. Actually, not phase one so much as intermission one. Just kind of figuring out what the heck to do there. And we prepped a lot for this fight. We prepped a ton for this fight. But one thing that we missed, like a gap in our preparation, was how to handle intermission one. And that actually ended up being a huge deal. We lost about 2 weeks, or we spent about 2 weeks just wiping into the first intermission. And that was exacerbated by, well, like part of the reason we had underprepped for the intermission is we had three boomkins. And if you have three boomkins that rav, do their AoE rav during that, all the chains die like three or four rives in. They just all die. You run into issues when one of them or two of them are dead or screw up their rav. Like this, the intermission is not easy. There's a lot of movement. There's a lot of things to kill you. So when they messed that up, not really having a fallback plan meant that we just immediately wiped. And that was a major issue with us. We're like, we had this single point of failure where if any one of the boomkins messed up, we probably wiped. And what it needed to be is like, we needed to have a backup plan of like, here's what everybody else is going to be doing to make sure that, you know, the boomkins will make it easier when they get it right. And when they don't, we will still be okay and we can get into phase two. And right, that was really, really something that we lost a lot of time and a lot of pulls on. I don't know how much progression time you guys had. Like ours came out to 38 hours. This is one where because of how much we spent wiping in intermission one on a 14-minute fight, that pull count can be a lot different even if progression time is the same.
We probably hit the same amount of hours, to be honest with you. So we took about 212 pulls to kill it. So a little bit less than you, like probably about what? That's almost 60 less than you. But like we by pull, I'd say by pull, probably 50 or 60, we were wiping in phase two. We weren't wiping in the intermission anymore. Right. So we basically figured out the intermission pretty quickly. Like we made a couple adjustments after the first night. And like that was like we moved healers to always being closest to the close set of chains. And then any AoE hit them first. So basically then our healers would spread and heal people that were for getting chained further away. That way they were covered. We'd have our hunters go far, not stay in the group, and basically turtle and run into their chain. Basically, it would explode, it would go away, and there'd be nobody close, generally speaking. We don't do that anymore because people die. But we also ran into a similar issue where we had two druids, two boomkins that... Yeah, if one of them died, a set of chains just died slower. So we had similar ideas, but I think we adjusted slightly. And our biggest thing, I think our biggest point was getting healers chained close and killing those first, which
absolutely
was
same here.
Which was like huge.
So what we did is so you can map out once you understand the mechanics of how chains connect to players. You can go through it and map it out and go, there's really only one solution. If you want the healers to be chained close by and all chained to the same group. And so there's really only one solution. It's you have the healers stand next near to one of the chains that spawns close. Mm-hmm. Everybody else stands in other certain locations. And then the melee just go kill the healer chains.
Yeah.
And then the healers get to just like, I mean, they still have to run around, but they don't have to run against their own chains to avoid it. So they can like in between Rive 3 and Rive 4, there's a gap. So they can stop and actually hard cast some things before having to go back to instance to dodge the remaining Rives.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that helped a ton. And that let us see like P2 a lot more consistently. And then, I mean, our P2 progression was actually, I mean, I wouldn't say consistent, but like we basically, like I mentioned, by like pull probably 60 or so, we were into consistently seeing P2. And to be fair, it took us probably 60 or 70 pulls to get out of that, right? To start to actually see phase three. I think we saw phase three on like first time on pull like 135 or so. Which like our P2 was a lot of, to be fair, like people slowing down, like not rushing through waves, right? Which is a big one. Wave and then death, it was like that, like dodging waves from Sylvanas itself, like herself, right, in the middle of the DPS phases. And then to be fair, it was actually not our, we called it the skeleton crew. So it's the second set of platforms, the crew that goes left, basically. It's like one healer, a bunch of DPS, you just try and blow up the big ad. It was actually our right side that died a lot more often. And it was to like people not dodging Veil. It was to just in general, like the dot getting too high, hitting that set of waves that comes out. So that was more of our bigger issue in P2. And just in general, like for me, like from a healing perspective, like it's just like healing the damage, because there's a lot of the damage that you want to heal is while you're moving, which is always the worst, right? We'd lose a couple people doing that, but no, it wasn't too bad. I think the other thing too is like this is the type of fight where like we'd leave a lot of P1s with both our battle reses used, right? And so it was just like any mistake in P2 just puts you that far behind, and so like we could just couldn't recover, like we couldn't just last long enough to see P3.
The other thing is if somebody falls off the platform in phase two, they cannot be rezzed until phase three. So if you have the healer that's going to Colossus side fall off the platform, you can't res them even if you have a res available. They can't they can't be rezzed. That was a problem for us, not the healer thing specifically, but just like a DPS that was important for the Colossus side. Like we had CDs assigned to it, that we were gonna, like if they were the people that were supposed to kill the Colossus, and if they were dead, then we couldn't kill the Colossus in time. Funny thing though, actually, after we started getting through the intermission, like five pulls later, we had our first phase three pull. It was limping into it. Like we made it with like two people alive, you know.
Jesus.
But we made it. Yeah. We reached phase three, and we spent like another 60 pulls in phase two, but maybe not that many. Actually, looking at it now, we spent, it looks like about 30 or 40 pulls in phase two, and then we were in phase three, and we honestly could have killed this boss a week sooner than we did, that we just made mistakes in phase three. You know, you have somebody that comes back too quickly with an arrow, you have somebody that dies with their arrow on the group's platform, you have somebody that miss a massacre, you have somebody cleave Veil a bunch. Like if you get somebody that cleaves three people with Veil, you probably are dead. So we spend a bunch of time unnecessarily in phase three. Like we have on October 3rd we have 15%, like this is, you know, relative to the 55% health control, 15% wipe. We have this 7% wipe over here. We've got a bunch of these low percentage wipes, any one of which could have been a kill if like this one, I'm almost certain this is the massacre time frame. This is like missing the fourth massacre or something similar. Or actually, no, this would be the arrow, because this is 1354. The last raise is at like 1440. So that would be the arrow, is the first arrow on platform four, but that kind of thing. Maybe it is the fourth massacre, I don't know, but like just that kind of thing. There's definitely like, we actually didn't spend as much time progressing phase two as I thought we would need to, but we definitely more than made up for it in the intermission and lost some time unnecessarily in phase three.
Yeah, I will tell you, we had a very similar thing. So the Thursday, our final, or the week before, we had, looking at the stats here, we had five sub 1% wipes.
No,
I remember, or like, well, sub 3%, I guess, would be the better way. So like 1.2, 1.5, 0.7. So we had like five of those on the Thursday before we killed it. And then the night we killed it, we two shot it. So we pulled once, it was a sub 1% wipe, and the next pull we killed it, which was like one of the most frustrating, I think, experiences, because like we could have done this in like under 200 pulls if, you know, if we were to just keep it together for that amount of time. But no, I mean, this boss, I think,
we did seven pulls on our kill night, like killed it in the first hour of raid. And it's definitely frustrating. It's been like, we could have killed this days ago. And that same thing has happened to us before. It happened with us. The most notable one I can remember is Jaina, because Jaina, we literally dropped 200 world ranks going from a Sunday to the next Friday, because the boss got nerfed and 200 guilds killed it on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, jeez.
And we had, you know, a 1% wipe or something like that on the Sunday before. And if we just kept it together, we would kill it. And then we walked it in like two shot it.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, no, it was intense in terms of the yeah, that ending piece. But no, Sylvanas overall, I think, was a great boss. I think the funny thing is that we did go through, I don't think we touched on this, but there was a major set of hot fixes that went in probably about the 2 weeks before we killed it. And yes, the biggest thing, it was all P1 stuff, which basically just helped us so much.
Yeah. So let's go through this list. Domination Arrow's health reduced by 15%. Dark Sentinel's health reduced by 15%. Curse of Lethargy in phase 2 duration reduced by 2 seconds. Decrepit Ward damage reduced by 10%. Veil of Darkness radius reduced by 3 yards. So that's huge. Radius, not diameter. So it's a 6-yard reduction. It's a huge difference. There was another undocumented hotfix that made it so Veil of Darkness could stack with itself. Previously, it couldn't. Mm-hmm. So you needed a Warlock Gateway to get out of it reliably. Now that it can stack, you just have the whole raid stack and just walk out of it. The unavoidable damage from Banshee's Fury in phase 3 reduced by 15%. The damage from Ranger's Heartseeker, Banshee's Heartseeker, Banshee's Blade reduced by 8%. So that's all the tank hits. And then also a bug fix where the thing that's supposed to wipe you in phase 2 didn't wipe you. But that's a huge set of hot fixes.
It was massive. And I think, to be fair, the arrow pieces, like the arrow and sentinel pieces, just made phase 1 so much more consistent, which was like the biggest thing of like getting into the intermission and seeing P2, which is like the curse and like orb changes were helpful, but you weren't really wiping. Like, it's a lot of damage to heal through, but like that wasn't the reason you were wiping, right? It was like that phase 1, just making phase 1 so consistent, right? In terms of like, not only the biggest thing for us was actually not that the arrows weren't dying easier, it's that we got more boss damage as a result of that, which meant our pushes weren't as tight, right?
Yeah. For us, it was definitely like the chains, the arrows having less health also applied to the intermission, and that was a big deal for us.
Yeah.
Like the intermission just having been this stopgap, like we were starting to get through it, we were starting to get phase 2 pulls the Sunday before this hotfix happened, and then the hotfix happened and we just started flying through the intermission.
Yeah,
just like absolutely crushing it.
And then seeing phase 2 more is just always like, you just get so much more consistency in the damage and where you'll need healing or where you'll need movement and stuff like that, which was key. So
the other thing for us this tier, I don't know about you guys, we had 6 or 7 people quit over the course of the tier. We had a healer, tank, and DPS quit after Painsmith progression. We had 2 Boomkins and our only Warlock quit during Sylvanas progression. And I think we had 1 other person quit over the course of the tier. And especially like losing the Warlock on Sylvanas was rough.
Oh yeah.
We ended up getting Warlock on loan from the other raid team in our guild, because they were on the bench for Sylvanas because they had 2 Warlocks. So we brought their second Warlock in with ours and they did progression with us.
Oh, nice. Nice.
That was real perks of having 2 CE teams in your guild right there.
Oh yeah.
But yeah.
Now we dodged the roster boss pretty well in terms of like key classes, right? Like we got lucky that we never had DH issues, never had tank issues, never had healer issues, right? Always generally had 2 boomkins. I think we ran 3 for a fight or 2, but generally always had 2. We had 0 of actually the roster issues on like key classes. Now, I think we lost like a warrior, maybe a rogue over the course of the tier, but nothing in a key spot that would like hinder or hurt our progression. So, we luckily got through that, which was helpful. Didn't hurt us too bad. So,
yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's the tier overall. I think, honestly, this tier suffers from it being basically a 2 boss tier. The first 4 not being super, or first 5 not being super super hard bosses, which is fine. That's normal. But then like there's Painsmith, which is like the difficulty of what would normally be a penultimate boss. Like it's definitely a mid tier wall. Right. And then the difficulty just drops like a rock. And like 2 of the bosses after Painsmith are actually easier than some of the bosses before Painsmith.
Yeah.
And now, actually, I would say Fate Scribes. So if you have people that can do runes, all three of those bosses are probably easier than maybe easier than Remnant.
Yeah, no, I would say, I mean, because they don't really like, yeah, like the only coordination part, I'd say Kel'Thuzad still probably requires more specific coordination between a raid. Yeah, probably the only thing that's difficult on KT, and maybe that bumps it up above Remnant. But no, I mean, I would say like Guardian and Fate Scribe are just like just show up and do damage and do runes and you kill it, right? Particularly now with the damage you have, you don't phase three is a joke. You don't do runes in phase three. You just do enough damage and cleave it. So
we are at the point where we sometimes do damage. Like everybody like holds CDs and everything so that they can CD with Lust, and then if somebody dies, we do runes.
Yeah. Oh, somebody really?
Dies, no questions asked. We're doing runes.
We gamble. We still gamble.
I say that no questions asked. We had it last week. Somebody died, but they died after their CDs, and they said that, and we were like, our raid leader was like, "Okay, go for it. Like, just go for the kill."
Yeah.
And we killed it right before the raid exploded.
nice. Yeah, I think this week we had the there's what the what goes off after that. There's something that still goes off even if you kill it.
The tank ad.
Oh yeah, the tank ad. Yeah. Yeah, I think we died. We like not died, but like a bunch of people fell over to that after the boss died, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think overall this is I'd say that like Sylvanas, while a long fight, I think lived up, like going through it, and about a bunch of people were sort of complaining about it before even we got there to do the progression, right? The length of it didn't bother me, right? Like looking back, like there are definitely points of progression, particularly as we're seeing phase three, like because we do the whole see phase three on a good pull, next pull wipe in phase one, see phase three on a good pull, like, and so that it's annoying going through that. If you actually look at our like progression log, it's literally like spiking up and down like this. It's hilarious. But like looking back, I'm fine with the length of it. I think, yeah, Sylvanas was a fine final boss, like not particularly amazing, but I think she was fine as a fight for the final boss here.
I generally like Sylvanas is fine. Definitely agree. Yeah. I do think it would have been a better fight as 12 minutes instead of 14. Like just improved a lot. Just cut a minute off of phase one, cut a minute off of phase two. Just make it slightly shorter. That is going to make it better. It just makes the fight better.
Yeah, I agree. Cause I mean, P3 is fine. I think once you get there, like P3 is like a cadence and it's not too bad at all. So
but you could, you know, just reduce the add HP and the damage, because like the phase two does have a damage check. If you don't kill the adds in time, she will cast ruin and kill you.
Yeah.
So just like move the timer on that up, reduce the add HP to compensate. Just make the phase shorter.
Yeah.
I think that would have made the fight better. Just cut a couple minutes off of it. I don't think there's enough space there to reduce it to 10 minutes like Denathrius does without dramatically changing the fight.
Yeah.
I think you have to start removing mechanics at that point. Or removing sets of overlaps. But definitely you could get it down to 12 minutes without removing any mechanics from the fight, just like changing health values.
No, that's fair. So real quick question. And I know we're over, so we got to wrap this one up. But which was the better tier, this or Nathria for this expansion?
It's so hard for me to say because like Stone Legion Generals, Council of Blood, Kael'thas I actually didn't mind that much, but I know a lot of people hate it.
Yeah.
Stone Legion Generals and Council of Blood were just awful. Like, and they were awful and they were high pull count bosses.
That's fair.
This tier, the bosses I really hate, like the Fate Scribe, the Eye, KT, they were all relatively low pull counts. And like Council, I guess, wasn't that much more than like KT.
Yeah.
But SLG was. SLG took forever.
No, SLG
was also an 11-minute fight.
That is that is true.
But then like Denathrius was just so Denathrius and Sludgefist were both just so much better than their respective bosses this tier. Like Denathrius is like in a league way above Sylvanas. If they wanted, like Denathrius, so they made Sylvanas a 14-minute fight because they wanted it to feel epic. Denathrius feels epic. Sylvanas,
it's just long. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, I agree. I think it's. I definitely think it's tough, but I would probably lean towards Nathria being the better overall tier for me, just because it wasn't. While it has Stone Legion, and I don't think I have the same hate. Like your hate for Stone Legion is my hate for KT. Like in terms of like the way that we think about those bosses. And so like in my mind, to that point, like with there only being two bosses in this, like Sanctum, that I'd say are like great, were fun to do. And I think there was just with Denathrius, yeah, you're right. Denathrius is just so good that like there could
Denathrius really was carrying.
Yeah, like to be fair, like Nathrius is probably only a one boss instance if you think about it. But to be fair, it's 2-2. I mean, it's Sludge Fist and
yeah, it's got three. It's Sludge Fist, it's Stone Legion Generals, and then it's Denathrius. All three at the end.
Yeah.
And like Sludge Fist wasn't that bad for the point in the tier we were reaching it at. But SLG still took a while, and Denathrius took a while. But Denathrius Denathrius was great. I think it's really hard to say. I would say they're honestly kind of equivalent. They've got different strengths and different weaknesses.
That's fair.
I wish I had been wrong, but my prediction that we would get more push timer bullshit in Sanctum was spot on.
Yeah.
And well, we'll see what happens with Sepulchre next year. I'm hoping that they have learned their lesson at long last and we don't have to deal with it anymore.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see as we get into it. So I have to start my reviews now that we're doing mythic testing, which will be fun. Fun. So,
yep. But that's it for today's show. Thank you all for listening. And we will be back next week. I don't know what we're talking about. We might talk a little bit about mythic testing. We might just like talk about whatever we feel like. Maybe there'll be important hotfixes. Who knows?
New builds.
But that is it for the show today. Thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed this and the other work that we do over on the Peak of Serenity, you can support that over at our Patreon at patreon.com/peakofserenity. And of course, you are welcome and encouraged to come join our Discord, patron or not. The lounge channels and the questions channels and everything are just always a great place to be. And again, the Brew Lounge is the best lounge. But that's it for today's show. We will see you next week.
Bye.